The tributes are pouring in for Bob Hawke, who died yesterday at the age of 89. The so-called People's Prime Minister won four federal elections. He was Labor's longest-serving Prime Minister. Under his leadership, the Australian economy underwent a seismic transformation. The Hawke era was also marked by environmental activism. Western Australian Governor Kim Beazley served as Defence Minister under Bob Hawke. Kim Beazley, welcome to RN Breakfast and our sincere condolences.
Thank you so much, Fran, and thank you for giving me an opportunity to say a few words about my dear friend. It's a sad day for us, but I am so moved by the extraordinary tributes that are out there in the media and listening to folk on both broadcasting and following their social media. This, you couldn't have had a better send-off for the great man.
Kim Beazley, it's much been said about your closeness with Bob Hawke. It's sometimes been described as a bit of a father-son relationship. There was definitely a love there, I suppose. What was the essence of your closeness, of your friendship?
Look, I had the deepest respect for him. He has a son and he loves that son very much.
Of course he does, yes. So you don't claim that position.
I don't claim that position. What I do claim is that he was my beloved mentor, to be frank. That's what he was. And his advice was always invaluable. It was always delivered with affection. And he always had, about everybody he dealt with, not just me, a great curiosity. He wanted their views. He didn't want to deluge them with his. So I think that in part was the secret of the success of his political personality.
Did you know, he had a great connection with the Australian people, and you would have been travelling around the country with him, and Matt just told us a great story, Barry Cassidy recounting a great story about Bob Hawke after he was Prime Minister and that ongoing connection with Australians. What was the secret of that? What was, you know, he was a middle class Australian, I suppose. He was well educated. He went to Oxford. What was the thing that he had that was this common touch?
Look, we trusted him because we sensed he trusted us, and we sensed that he wanted the best for us. You know, he had a pretty good ego, Bob. You know, he has a total confidence in the fact that he was the right man for the prime ministerial job. But he was not a narcissist. A narcissist is obsessed with themselves. He was obsessed with other people, his fellow Australians. He also thought some of our directions were wrong. He also thought there were deep flaws in our society. And he was therefore prepared to take risks because he loved the society enough to take those risks to make it a better place. And he did it across the board. He did it on the essential issues of, if you like, a sense of mutual cultural unity in this country. He did it to provide an opportunity for all to prosper. He did it for sort of an opportunity for the country to prosper as collectively. And internationally, he wanted us to stand for something, and what he wanted us to stand for were all good things.
You spoke about his ego. That's no surprise, I suppose. He's not the only politician with an ego, no doubt about that. But he came in and very quickly became leader. You entered Parliament in the same year, I think, 1980.
Yeah, I did.
Was his certainty of purpose evident right from the start to you?
Oh, his certainty of that purpose has been evident long before. I think he had wonderful parents whom he loved, and I think they convinced him he was a golden boy with a golden opportunity, but it was an opportunity that had to be spent on others, not on himself. And his dad was a minister, a Christian minister, and he really infused in Bob the idea of, if you like, brotherly love. I should say now sibling love. And that was an intense motivation for him.
We've spoken this morning about the transformation that Bob Hawke and Paul Keating as a team really had on the Australian economy, really transforming it into a modern economy. We've spoken about how what he did for Australia opening itself up to the world. One thing we haven't talked about much was his action on the environment. I mean, one of the first actions he took was to save the Franklin River from being dammed in Tasmania. We know the effect of that now so many years on. Also saving the Daintree. Gareth Evans reminded us that it was Bob Hawke who championed the protection of Antarctica from mining. Kakadu too, a major impact on preserving more of Kakadu. Perhaps fair to say that the country's first environmental prime minister, was that instrumental in bringing across to Labor a new generation of Labor voters, do you think?
Look, it could have been, but I don't think he was doing it for that purpose, because the arguments he had were arguments which did not necessarily increase his vote. And he, on the first of those, on the Franklin, of course, lost the Labor Party every seat in Tasmania.
Mm.
And but his, it was what he thought was right. You know, if you're going to preserve the national home economically, if you're going to preserve the national home with a sense of unity by reaching out and getting all Australians turned to each other and not away from each other, if you're going to do that, you've also got to build the house. And the environment was part of that house. That's what we lived in. So he was prepared to take risks. Almost everything he did in the 1980s, in all the areas that we've been talking about, almost all of it was a difficult political argument. But he thought, he had this profound belief that Australians were intelligent people who wanted to do the right thing. Therefore, you could have an argument with them and have and convince them that a different course needed to be followed. So he didn't run away from a public discussion or duck it. He loved us enough to get out there and do it.
So the reforms, the list of reforms is long. Those reforms continued really in the 90s under Howard Costello government in terms of some economic reforms, you know, the GST, the tax system is one of them. You know, I think we can say that reform seems to have ground to a halt in the last decade or so. Do you think the times have changed, Kim Beazley, or our leaders have changed?
Hard to say. And do remember, Fran, I'm a governor, so I'm not supposed to get into politics.
Oh, I'm sorry. Of course you are.
But don't worry about that. Look, I think that there is a democratic issue now. You know, if you look at polling on democracies in the 1990s to where we are now, the 1990s were a great confident morning for democracies. Democracies now are really going backwards in public support, including in the great and old democratic nations. We really need to get into, I believe, get back to that spirit that Bob Hawke had. Bob Hawke, the ultimate Democrat, because he would be prepared to enter into a debate and enter into a debate on the basis, though, that the conclusion of that debate should be for the mutual benefit of all of us. He used democracy, he believed in democracy, and I think if political leaders take that leaf out of his book, and it's not an exclusive province, obviously, of the Labor Party, that leaf out of his book, the whole show will do better in public confidence.
Kim Beazley, thank you so much for joining us today, and our thoughts are with you as the loss of your former leader, your friend and your mentor. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Frank.
Kim Beazley is the Governor of Western Australia. He served in the Bob Hawke ministry right through the Hawke years into the Keating years, including a very long stint as Defence Minister. You're listening to RN Breakfast. It's 14 minutes to 9.